It's that time again when we're going to go shortly out onto the streets with churches right across Wales in, I think it's like 24 regions across Wales, to tell people how much God loves them and that he's got an amazing plan for their life. And to pray for people that they may receive Jesus, his love, his forgiveness, take a first step in his wonderful desire and plan for them. And for those who are sick, we're going to pray for the sick as well. And this is what it says in John 4. It's, don't say you still have 4 months until the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look to the fields, because they are ripe for harvest. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask for the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the field." So here we are, going out again. We did it last year, to tell people about the good news of the kingdom and to heal the sick, just as we did. And last year, 4,000 people received Jesus into their lives, and many people were healed as we prayed for them. If you've heard this story, but I can never forget it. I went up to Wrexham, and there was a fella waiting for his wife outside of a shop. And I went up to him and said, "God loves you and has got a wonderful plan for your life." And as I began to talk to him and say, "And if you were to die tonight, would you be absolutely sure of going to heaven?" He said, "No." His wife came along. And he said, "What's going on here?" And I said, "Well, I was just telling your husband that God loves him and he loves you and has got a wonderful plan for your life. And if you were to die tonight, would you be sure of going to heaven?" And she said, "No." I said, "Can I tell you 3 things the Bible says about heaven and how to get there?" And she said, "Yes," just like her husband did. And then at that point, her husband came along. No, her son, her daughter came along and said, "What's going on?" "So I was just telling you, your mum and your dad, that God loves you and he's got a wonderful plan for your life. And if you'd die to heaven, would you be sure of going to heaven?" She said, "No." He said, "Can I tell you 3 things the Bible says?" And she says, "Yes." And then her husband came along and I had to start again. And she said, "What's going on?" I said, "Well, I was just telling your mum and your dad and your wife that God loves you and he's got a wonderful plan for your life. And if you were to die to heaven, would you be sure of going to heaven? And would you like me to tell you 3 things the Bible says how to get there?" And he said, "Yes." And then the daughter came along and says, "What's going on here, mum and dad?" And said, "Well, I was just telling your granddad and your grandmother and your father and your mother that God loves you and got a wonderful plan for your life. And if you were to die today, would you be sure of going to heaven?" And she said, "No." And said, "Well, can I tell you 3 things the Bible says of heaven and how to get there?" And she said, "Yes." And eventually there was nobody else to come along. And I got to the end of the story of telling them how to receive Jesus in heaven and how to get there. And every single one of the whole family prayed to receive Jesus. And then just before I was going, I thought, well, do you know, there's a good chance that one of these members of the family here are in some ail or sickness or pain or difficulty, because it went from right through the generations. I said, "Is anybody in pain here?" And the grandmother says, "Yes, I've got rheumatoid arthritis and I've got pain in my shoulder, my neck, and it goes down to my shoulder, my arm." And I said, "Are you experiencing that pain now?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Well, can I pray for you?" And she said, "Yes." And she said, "Okay, pray this, Lord Jesus, please heal me now." And she prayed that prayer. And I said, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." And all the pain went immediately. And they were all very happy to have received Jesus and his healing. So that's what we're going to go and do. And we're going to go and do it again. And I remember Mike, 26 years old, going through the same thing. And when it got to the point for me to ask him if he wanted to receive Jesus into his life, he was a little bit hesitant. And then I said to him, "You're not in pain by any chance?" And he said, "Yes, I am." And I said, "How long have you had this?" He said, "About 4 years. He's got problems with his back. And he was in pain in that moment, and he has difficulty in sitting down and standing up." And I prayed for Mike, same like the lady in Wrexham, and he got healed. And then I said, "Well, would you like to receive Jesus now into your life?" And he did. And then I began to approach another gentleman who was a little older, struggling along the streets of Swansea in a stick. And I stopped him. I said, "Hey, I'm on the streets with some friends from churches today to let you know that God loves you. He's got a wonderful plan for your life." And he said, "I'm not interested. I'm not interested at all." And he began to move on and hobble along. And just as he was hobbling, I said, "Well, hang on a minute. Before you go, I can see you're in pain, struggling with your stick. In my church, we often pray for people who are in pain. Would you like me to pray for you that pain will go?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Pray this prayer." And he said, "Lord Jesus, heal me now." And I said, "Lord, did you heal this man? Take away all the pain now in Jesus' name." And all the pain left immediately. And then I said, "Would you like me to tell you how to go to heaven and what the Bible says?" And he said, "Yes." And he received Jesus Christ into his life. So I want to encourage you that we're going to go onto the streets again to tell Jesus, people, about this amazing message that God loves you. He's got a wonderful plan for your life. And that Jesus, who forgave and changed lives 2,000 years ago and healed sick bodies, is with you as you go to do the same thing. And you will be thrilled to see what God will do as you go, as I was thrilled to see what God did as I went. And we're not going again because it's summertime and it's just a time to go out onto the streets. We're not going again because it's seasonal. We're going again because Jesus says right now, right across our nation, the harvest is ripe. Don't wait and say it's 4 months for the harvest. The harvest is ready now. You see, there's been a change. There's been a new season where the hearts and minds of ordinary men and women across the nation of Wales and the UK have actually become now open and wanting to discover God. There was a time when people didn't want to discover God and know him. They were resistant. Some of it was because of bad experiences, maybe, of church. But church has changed a lot in the last 60 years in the UK. I remember I became an atheist. I say this respectfully, but I became an atheist at the age of 16 because I went to church once. I remember being in that church and saying if God existed, he'd be here. And I was so bored, I concluded that he wasn't. And so I became an atheist, and a very evangelistic one at that. I converted a lot of people to atheists, atheism. But in 1982, I had an encounter with God that changed my life. And I went along to a church and realized, actually, this particular church I was going to knew the presence of God and taught what the Bible taught. And people were healed when they prayed for them. And they did have a relationship with God that was real. And it changed my perspective. And I've noticed now, and many of you have noticed, that in the last years, we've seen a revolution within the church, so to speak. But a lot of people haven't had a bad experience, so they are not put off church and Jesus anymore. In fact, they're quite open because they've never been and they're hungry to know. And when you don't have knowledge, you want to discover. So when people discover that God loves you and has got a wonderful plan for your life, and you say, "Would you like me to tell you what the Bible says about heaven and how to get there?" Most people, well, a lot of people say yes, because there's a new season and a new desire to know. So we can go with confidence. So we're not going because it's summertime. We're going because everywhere there is a hunger and a desire for people to discover Jesus. And so as I was sharing with you last Wednesday, I changed my car recently. And as I was doing the paperwork with Imran, who was a Muslim, and he was in the middle of Ramadan fasting, and he looked a bit tired, I must admit, from all the fasting every day, we began to talk about God. And I began to talk about how we fast, and he began to talk about how he fasts. And I said, "Imran, let me ask you a question. In the light that God loves you and has got a wonderful plan for your life, if you were to die tonight, would you be absolutely sure of going to heaven?" And he said, "No." And I said, "Well, would you like me to tell you 3 things the Bible says of heaven and how to get there?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "All have sinned and come short of God's perfect standard." And he agreed. And I said, and the wages or the results of the things that we've done wrong separate us from God in heaven. And he knew that was true. And I said, but Imran, the Bible says that Jesus was sent by the Father so that he was punished for the sins that you've committed and I've committed in our place so that we could be forgiven, so we could go straight to heaven. I said, would you like me to pray with you that you can receive Jesus and his forgiveness? And Imran over the table said yes. And after we did the paperwork, we sat in the car together on the handover, and the first thing he said was not how the sat-nav works, but let's pray so he could receive Jesus Christ. And even before I got to drive the car away, the first thing that ever happened in that car was this sincere Muslim man gave his life to Christ. And he was rocked because he felt the presence of God. And he said, I felt something. I didn't expect that, he said. And I said, well, I did. Because you've just connected with God through Jesus. And he was emotional and touched powerfully. So here we have it. There's an open season. And so we're going to go to share our faith. And I want to encourage you to be confident. And as you go with a simple presentation of the gospel, some of you will have memorized it and some of you will have it written down and you'll read it. It doesn't make any difference. But the gospel, the word of Jesus, the message that Jesus died on the cross for us, says it's the power of God for salvation. It's the power of God to open hearts and change lives, to forgive sins and give the gift of eternal life, that people can know God in their life now and be assured of going to heaven when they die. So be absolutely confident that it has nothing to do with you, but everything to do with the power of God that is in this message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life. When you tell people about Jesus, the power and the presence of God is invested in those words and they breathe life into people that change people. Move in people's hearts, bring them peace where there's anxiety, freedom where there's bondage, forgiveness where there's guilt, healing where there's sickness. So go and tell the good news, which is good news to every heart and soul. And Jesus says, heal the sick. And healing often happens in the context of telling people about heaven and how to get there. So I want to teach you a few moments and encourage you a few moments on being prepared not only to tell but to heal the sick. I want to encourage you to be observant with your friends, not just on the streets, but be observant with your friends and your neighbors and your family relatives and the people you come in contact on a day-to-day basis who are sick, that you can pray for them in the name of Jesus and ask God to heal them. Ask God to heal and use the authority that you have in his name. Pray anything in my name and the Father will do it. Jesus commanded people to be healed and the disciples commanded people to be healed in Jesus' name. When they saw a lame man at Gate Beautiful, they said, silver and gold we don't have to give you, because he was begging at the time. But what we do have you, we're going to give you now. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. He instructed them, I would go so far to say commanded that man to be healed. And as that man believed that and received it by faith, he stood up and everybody was amazed. So simply do what Jesus did and what the disciples did. It says, go in my name, proclaim the gospel, lay hands upon the sick, and those who believe will be healed. Go and heal the sick using the authority that God has given you. Ask people to move if they're in pain and see if it's any better. And you can do it. Last Thursday, Jez and I and Matthew, and I think Precious was with us, wasn't we? We went up to a healing cafe, and the week or two before, we'd just been training people how to heal the sick, and they'd never done it before. It was new to them. And as they prayed for one another, guests who come to this healing cafe, there was one lady who had had an accident 20 years ago, and she had pain in her neck and her back and couldn't move with freedom without pain. And 20 years she'd had this, and somebody around the table prayed for her, and she got healed of all the pain of 20 years.
And there was another young man who had just that afternoon seen the doctors for a slip disc, and he couldn't sit down without pain or stand up without pain. And he told me that the slip disc was inoperable, and that's why he was at the Healing Cafe. And a little group who'd we trained, who were unfamiliar with healing and hadn't done it before, prayed for him, and the pain went. And I asked him, how do you feel? He went, amazing! You can do that. You might think, well, I've never done it before. They hadn't done it before. I tell you why. It hasn't got anything to do with you. The power is in the name of Jesus. The disciples knew this. When everybody looked at the disciples after healing that man at Gate Beautiful, and they went, oh, you guys are amazing. They turned around to the crowd and said, don't look at us as if it's got anything to do with our godliness. This miracle has happened through power in the name of Jesus. That's it. Who can say Jesus here today? Jesus. Let's just try. After three. One, two, three. Jesus. Oh, great. You can heal the sick. There you go. You've got all that it takes. It's power in the name of Jesus. Mixed with a little bit of courage. It's the only thing that will stop you. But once you've done it once, you get an appetite for it. So keep your eyes open and ask people and ask your friends. I often will see people limping along and say, excuse me, I notice you're in pain. In my church, we pray for people. Would you like me to pray for you? Hardly anybody ever says no. But there's another thing I want to encourage you to consider, just to add to your observant nature, is to ask for the gift of knowledge. Now, let me explain what that is. There's a gift that we can have in the Bible, and it's in Corinthians, the book of Corinthians, listed with a number of other gifts called the gift of wisdom and the gift of miracles and the gift of discernment. But there's a gift of knowledge. Knowledge is a piece of God's knowledge, because he knows everything, that he can give you at any given moment in time about a certain situation to help somebody. And the gift of knowledge often works in partnership with healing, where he will show you somebody who is sick or has a condition that you don't know about. And as you get this gift of knowledge from God and tell them, I know this might sound a bit strange, but you don't have a problem with your right knee, do you? And they go, how did you know that? And I say, well, often, you know, I'm a Christian, and often God, who loves you and people, will show me conditions that people have so that they can receive prayer for it. And I think God has just shown me, you've got a right knee. Can I pray for you? And this encourages people and opens their hearts, and it encourages you. And it's very, very powerful. And sometimes people can be healed when you give the gift of knowledge, even before you pray for them. On Friday, I heard a story of a church leader called Gareth, who stood up here sharing a story about how he got healed. That happened 5 years ago, and I just heard it from his lips on Friday. And this is what happened. He went to the New Wine Cymru Leaders Conference in Lambeth, which we had some 5 years ago. And he was a first-timer, and somebody invited him along, and he came from a tradition where he believed in the Bible, but he didn't believe in healing. He didn't think Jesus did that anymore, and it was for today. So he's sitting at the back, and the morning that he came to the conference, for some bizarre reason, he had developed a very, very, very painful pain about here. And he was struggling through the meeting. He said to himself halfway through the worship, at the end of this meeting, I'm going to have to go into Lambeth Town and get some painkillers or something for this. And I happened to be preaching, and at the end of the preaching, I developed a real pain here. Now, I've learned this, that can sometimes be a word of knowledge or a piece of knowledge that God is revealing about somebody who has pain. And you can experience that pain for a moment or two. And I began to get some pain here. And so I said, look, is there anybody here who's got pain here. I think it could be a bladder infection or something. I'm not going to invite you to come to the front to embarrass you, but if you come to the meeting at the front at the end, I'll pray for you personally. The moment I said those words, the pain left. He got healed just by hearing the word of knowledge. That's how powerful it is. And I didn't even know until 5 years later. Thanks for telling me, Gareth. But that was the thing. Gareth was a first-timer to our New One Cymru, and now he's on the leadership team of the Valleys. It took him from there to be right at the core because of that word of knowledge. Totally changed his theology, his view, his understanding of Jesus. That radically has changed his life and ministry. And he has seen miracles breaking out in his church since that time. Last Saturday night, I was standing here. And Matthew was leading with Sean, and Bruce had been speaking. And I'm standing here just watching prayer going on. And suddenly I develop a pain in my rib. Right here, and it's a real sharp pain. I would say about the size of a 50p piece here, and I couldn't work out whether it was on my rib or underneath my rib. I think it was underneath my rib, but it just came out of the blue. Now, a number of years ago, I might think, oh, I must have strained a muscle or got indigestion or something. But I understand that when God is moving and he wants to touch somebody's life, sometimes he can put that pain there temporarily. So I took hold of the mic and I said, is there anybody here who's got a pain in their rib? And at that moment, the presence of God fell upon Sarah, and unbeknown to me, she had a pain underneath her rib, and it was a condition you've been struggling with for some time, isn't it? But I wasn't in my thinking at that moment of time. I just started. I didn't know it was going to be you, and I looked and I go, oh, it's you. And God healed her, and she had that pain at that precise moment of time, and it went completely. So that's one way. So it's a word of knowledge. And it can be very powerful. And when you speak out this knowledge that God gives you, the Bible says that the gifts of the Spirit, they're manifestations of the Spirit. In other words, God is made known and revealed to people in that given moment in time as you speak it out in faith. It's more than information, it's power. Let me tell you something about the Word of God. The Word of God is more than information. It's power. When God spoke, let there be light, there was light. When he spoke, Lazarus, come forth, and he'd been dead in the grave for 4 days. Lazarus, come forth. That dead man could not hear a thing and came out. The word of God is not information, it's power. When we say there's somebody here, and they might have a knee or a slip disc, or they've got a paint, or whatever it is, and you speak it out in faith, you're not just giving people information. Ooh, that might be me. You are releasing the power of God, because it's his word, to bring a miracle in somebody's life. You're all very quiet today. Oh, yeah. Great. There's no arrows today. So here we go. I want to encourage you, therefore, to be observant, and I want to encourage you to do this simple thing. Ask for God to give you knowledge in the moment. Just like the Bible says, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask, and God will give it. If you want knowledge to help somebody have an open heart to receive Christ and listen to the gospel and receive his love and healing, ask God in the moment. The Bible says this, ask and you'll receive. Knock and it shall be opened to you. How much more will the Holy Spirit give to those who ask him? I'm going to give you a forewarning. At the end of this talk, I'm going to invite every one of you to ask God to give you some words of knowledge. And I'm going to invite maybe the first 12 who put their hands up to come and share it. And then we're going to say, who's got those conditions? And we're going to pray. And I'm expecting to see people healed. Just give you a forewarning. It's exciting, isn't it? I'm getting excited already. Now, Ask a word of knowledge for your friends. Ask a word of knowledge when you're out and about and be open to it. A friend of mine was walking down Merthyr, just going down the high street, and this lady walked towards them, and as they walked towards them, she suddenly had a pain in her face. Now, she just could have carried on. Oh, I wonder what that is. Maybe I need to go see the dentist. But she thought, I wonder if God has shown me that that woman who's just passed me has got a problem with their face. So she ran up after her. She said, excuse me, I hope you don't think I'm weird. But, and I know this sounds unusual, but you wouldn't happen to have a pain in your face, would you? And she did, and she had a problem. And she explained how she got this, and how she knew she had a pain, prayed for it, she got healed. And then the following Sunday, she was in church. Be open. Ask. Act. In the mission, with your friends, in the workplace, as you're walking down the street. So, how do I get and receive a word of knowledge? It's very, very simple. Very simple. And I want you to say that these are, the Bible says they're gifts of knowledge and gifts of wisdom. You need to understand the word gift. Do you get a gift because you deserve it? No, you get a reward because you deserve it. You get a salary because you earn it. You get a gift because somebody loves you and wants to bless you and wants to be kind to you. It's a gift. Wonderful, isn't it? A gift. You don't deserve it. You'll never be good enough to earn it. You'll never be spiritual enough to get it. Do you know the first word of, when Matthew, first word of knowledge that he received was when he was 5 years old. You'll never be mature enough. It's got nothing to do with it. I've seen new Christians who've been baby Christians and receive a word of knowledge. And I've seen mature Christians get it. It's got nothing to do with mature. It's a gift. So everybody's included. This is how you get word of knowledge. Very simple. You either feel it, you see it, or you think it after asking for it. I'll say this again. You either see it, you feel it, or you think it after asking for it. So when I will say, Lord, is there anybody here with a condition that can be healed today? Will you show me and give me a word of knowledge or some of your knowledge about this? Sometimes I will feel it. Oh, I got a pain here. And it can be for a moment. Sometimes it can be quite sharp, but sometimes it can be really light. But you'll be responsive to it. Sometimes you feel like just a touch on the shoulder. Oh, is anybody with a shoulder pain? Or sometimes it can be, oh, you really feel it. It doesn't matter, but you take it by faith because you've asked. Ask and you'll receive, and you just take by faith. So be aware of your body. And that's one way you can receive a word of knowledge. Sometimes I've been driving to church and I've had an unexplained pain in my body before the meeting and realized it's a word of knowledge for somebody in the meeting. So you can feel it. Secondly, you can see it. In your mind's eye, with your mind open or closed, you may see a body part. An internal organ, a bone, a finger, a thumb. I was in North Wales and I was praying and I saw in my imagination, in my mind's eye, an ankle and a foot. And I said in the church meeting, is anybody here with problems with their ankle? And this man at the back, who'd been Territorial Army, had damaged it and he had not been able to walk without pain for 20 years. I said, walk to the front. I said, walk to the front. And before he had got to the front, he'd been healed. And after that, he was jumping off the steps outside the building, smacking on his ankles and testing it. I didn't encourage him to do that. I don't advise it. But he was absolutely fine. And then this dear old lady, I would put her in her 70s, came up to me. She twisted her ankle or damaged it about 10 years. I think she said 10 years ago. And she had to have a plate. In her ankle, in her foot. And she'd been in pain, and hadn't been able to move it, the mobility and pain. And we prayed for her. And she's got a metal plate, and all her mobility and the pain went. What a plate in it, metal. How does that happen? I don't know. It's the power of a word of knowledge, isn't it? The power of healing. But you can see it. So in a moment, we're going to pray. And some of you will feel. And some of you will see. And you just take it by faith. And sometimes you think it. And you'll just get a thought. It comes into your mind. It could be osteoporosis. Tennis elbow. Diabetes. You just thought. It just comes. You just have this thought. It enters your consciousness. And it's a thought. And as you speak it out, it's like, oh, I'm suffering with that. And you pray for them and they get healed. And that thought can sometimes be a condition, but sometimes it can be a name. Oh, we were at a meeting, weren't we, in West Wales? And we were getting words and other people were getting healed. And I just got this name, sitting down, I just got this name, Lucy. Lucy. And I said, is there a Lucy here? And there was a Lucy sitting over there. And she had all her hand in bandages because she had, you know, couldn't move it without pain, wrist and arm, you know, there. Her friends prayed for her after that word of knowledge, the name Lucy, she got healed. You might get a name. You might get a name of a condition or a name of a body part or a name of a person. They tell you what their condition is or what their need is and God heals them. So you can feel it, you can think it, you can see it after asking for it. Easy, isn't it? The only thing is it takes faith. And the sister words to faith are risk. Because, oh, I got to risk my reputation. I got to risk looking stupid. I got to risk getting it wrong or what people think. Well, hey, we all feel like that. Oh, and a courage. Faith and courage. They're brothers and sisters. Courage and risk are brothers and sisters to faith. But I want to encourage you to, having received it, exercise faith. Is faith something you exercise? Faith without works is dead, isn't it? Says James. So you exercise it. As you move in your faith, it activates it and the power of it is released. So you do something. So you, oh, I think I felt something. I think I saw something. I think I thought something after asking. Oh, I don't know. It's just me. Or you go, is there somebody here? And that's faith. And faith releases the power.